Yeah, honestly, I fought with the Lord for about half an hour over the title of this message. Put in my mind to put the secret of life, and I said, really? So I changed it, and he said, no, secret of life. So I changed it, and I thought about it more. I said, no, that's promising too much. You can't do that. So I changed it again, and he said, no, secret of life. So here you go. You're getting the secret of life. And it's not my secret. It's God's secret, right? So just to get it right. First of all, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers that are out there. It's a daunting work and one that we are called to do. So, Father, I thank God as our Father who watches over us and gives us what we need to do that job. If you have your Bibles, turn to, or you can look on the screens, Psalm 127. As I was looking through and preparing this message, I think the truths that are here are very familiar, very old. So I think this message really serves as a reminder to us, particularly to moms, but I think to all of us it applies in terms of our life. What is the secret of life? And there are scriptures, other scriptures that we'll be looking at that are really familiar, really, for some of you, maybe your life verses. And for that reason, I think God wants to remind us again about these precious truths that direct us as to how we should live our life. Let me go ahead and read for you Psalm 127, and we're just looking at the first two verses. Even though the last three verses talk about children, which is appropriate for today, God just said two verses. So Psalm 127, 1-2. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. Let me pray. Father, we come before you. We thank you for the word of God that speaks truth into our life. And Lord, sometimes we just need truth. It may not be easy to hear, but Father, it's the truth we need to live. Your truth is the secret of life. So Father, or holds the secret of life. So Father, we come before you and we pray that you would open our hearts and ears. May we hear your voice and may you speak to us and may we know how to respond to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Very directly, let's kind of get right into it. I think for men and women, we talk a lot about the differences between men and women. I think the verses and the scripture we look at today, very appropriate for women, because men, you know, we kind of compartmentalize things. We look at one thing at a time and we focus on whatever's in front of us, the problem or the thing to be solved or the issue that we're talking about. Women, you may be talking about a problem, but they see everything related to that problem, right? So it's not just this problem that they're looking at. They're looking at, well, what about this and 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 this? And then, and sometimes I must think, wow, they must be so overwhelmed with all the things that come into their minds as they think about, what to do and how to handle certain situations. So I hope this scripture and this message gives us a little reminder. Next slide. First point, this. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Believe in God's plan for the house. God is the architect. God is the project manager. God is the building contractor. He's the one who does it all. Sometimes we have our own plan. We have our own desire, our own thought, just like Sister Elaine shared, of what the perfect life should be, or what we want our lives to be. And we kind of shape it that way, and we think that's what it is, and we put all this effort and all this energy trying to make that happen. And many times, in fact, most of the time, if not all the time, it never happens the way we want. Because it's our plan. It's our plan. It's what we want to do. And it's just so tiring and it's so exhausting and so frustrating because you're trying so hard. You're laboring so hard to build this life that you imagine as life should be. And we forget that unless God builds the house, unless God is the architect, unless we follow God's plan, it's all in vain. Even if you get the life that you think, that you imagine would be the perfect life, if you were to achieve that by some miracle, chances are you probably wouldn't be happy. You think it would make you happy, but if you got it, you probably wouldn't be. I want to turn to a scripture from the Old Testament, which is many people's favorite verses. Next slide. Thus says the Lord from the prophet Jeremiah, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you, fulfill my good word to you, to bring back to you to this place, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. And I'm going to go a little bit further. Next slide. Then you will call upon me, come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes. I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from where I sent you into exile. Can you back up one slide, please? For I know the plans that I have you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you in a future and a hope. I've heard that verse shared by so many people as a verse that helped them through, that got them through. And that is absolutely its purpose, to do that. But I want us to think back to the context of this verse and to understand what God is promising and what this means. In the Old Testament, the people of Israel had kind of turned away from God, and they're kind of, God's got to reach the end point. He said, you know what? I've tolerated your idolatry and your sinfulness for centuries. And now I just have to do something to get you right, to kind of turn you on the right path. I'm going to send you an exile. I'm going to bring an army from the east, and they're just going to conquer you, and they're going to take you away. And the people of Israel, just like any of us today, if God were to say, I'm going to bring in the Chinese or whatever, well, we might be okay with the Chinese, I don't know. But, you know, come over and they're just gonna conquer the nation. They're gonna defeat you in war. They're gonna take over the United States. Most of us would be pretty terrified. And we'd be praying, God, please have mercy on us. We're sorry, you know, we repent of our sin. Don't let this happen to us. I'm sure the people of Israel were praying exactly the same thing. Praying that God would cause this not to happen, that God would stay his hand, that they wouldn't have to be defeated in war. They wouldn't have to go through the terrible things that happen if you get defeated by an army back in those days. Look at what God says in the context of this verse. Thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place. You understand what he was saying to them? He's saying, look, I know you don't want this to happen, and you're praying that I will stop this country from defeating Babylon, from defeating you. But you know what? Not going to happen. They're going to come in. They're going to take you. They're going to take your kids. They're going to take you out. They're going to move you away. You're going to be shipped away from home. You're going to become foreigners and in a strange land for 70 years. 70 years. What that means is that for pretty much everybody that heard this prophecy, who heard this promise, they were not going to see the fulfillment of it. Think of your age, add 70 years. Chances are you won't be here. For these people who are praying and asking God to do something, God says, look, you're going away, and you're going away, but after 70 years, you're coming back. God's plan was, look, this is going to happen, there's reasons for it, but after 70 years, when your children or your grandchildren grow up, they're going to come back, and I will be with them. Sometimes God's plan for us, and when I say believe in the plan, there are things we want, there are things we desire, especially for our kids or our family, that maybe sometimes God says, you know, it's going to happen, but it may not happen in your lifetime. It may not happen the time you want. It may not happen even so you can see it, but it will happen. But it'll happen. And I think sometimes we as Christians, we have to kind of take that moment of faith and just say, I grab onto that promise, and yeah, you know, who knows where I'm going to be living next year, the year after that, maybe wherever in Babylon as a slave. But God, I trust that when my kids grow up, or when grandkids grow up, you're going to bring them back. and they're going to be with you. We as parents, we as mothers, we as Christians, we have pictures of our life that we want to be. God's plan for our life may be totally different than that. Maybe totally different than that. And as we live out the lives, it may look like, wow, what is God doing? Where is this going? Am I ever going to see anything good out of this? And that's where we have to just believe in God's plan. That God says it's going to work out. You may not see it, but it's going to work out. And believe in it. Belief in that allows us, gives us the faith to move through difficult times, which is actually the next point. Next slide, please. Actually, two slides now. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. Trust in his sovereignty. What this is talking about is you can put all the watchmen you want around the city to kind of keep the enemy out. But you know what? No matter what, doesn't matter. Enemy can still get in. We can put all the shields around our kids, our family, ourselves, put our life in a bubble, you know, higher security, all that stuff, and then just do everything we can to make sure we're protected and we're safe. And God is saying, all that stuff, yeah, it's good. Nothing wrong with doing that. But ultimately, if that's all you're trusting in, it's in vain. This is a fallen world. This is a fallen people. Things happen. And as much as you want to protect yourself, as much as you want to protect your kids, as much as you want to protect your family, you can't. You can't. Because you can't be there all the time. You're not strong enough to deal with every single situation that could come into their lives and endanger them. You're not there to see the bad influences or that may be, you know, pushing them the wrong way. You're not there to guide them when they have moments of decision that could take them down a bad path. You just can't be there all the time. As much as we want to be. And we worry. And it gives us stress. And sometimes our kids choose the wrong path. But what God says is, you can worry about it all you want, but ultimately you can't do anything about it. You don't have control. And that's maybe the hardest thing for us to understand, that we can't control it. Because we so desperately want to. We so desperately want to control our life and what happens to our life. And to believe that we have some way to make it happen the way we want to happen, when the reality is we don't. We don't have that power. We don't have that ability. We can't. God does give us a couple verses. Next slide. From 1 Corinthians. No temptation. Actually, the word temptation, trial, same thing. Okay, so you can put the word trial. They're probably more fitting for this audience. No trial has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tested beyond what you're able, but with the test, with the trial, will provide the way of escape also, so that you'll be able to endure it. Not escape it, endure it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Because we're in the midst of these things, we tend to go after anything, follow after, believe in something else that will get us out of this or that will protect us. And so the danger is idolatry, that we trust in something other than God for our protection. And God is saying, you know what? These trials, these tests, first of all, nothing happens to you that I'm not in control of. Everything that happens to us, God is in control of. And he filters it. He filters it so that you're never tested beyond your ability to endure. That God puts a filter around us. But we have to be careful not to follow after other ways. Next slide. Here's another verse that I thought is very appropriate. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now, for a little while if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible, full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Even though you have not seen him, even though we cannot see him physically right there in front of us, our faith, the outcome of our faith is joy and salvation. We just have to keep believing. Keep believing. And I echo what Sister Elaine shared. I think this message totally echoes that, the idea that it's not about what you can do or what we can do. It's what God, it's always about what God can do and what God does. Next slide. Love this. It's vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. That sometimes we just think, I just have to work harder, I just have to do more, get that promotion, whatever, to get, just do a little more, work a little harder, and it'll happen. And God is saying, just don't. Don't. We have to put faith in his provision. I'm going to move ahead because time is getting a little bit past this. But next slide, to kind of put this in context, why this is important. From Matthew 6, again, a very familiar passage. Don't worry then, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. All these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. That's a great verse. Don't worry about tomorrow. Today has enough problems for today. I don't think this is promoting a prosperity life, prosperity faith, where if we believe in God and then do what he says, I will be rich. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I think this is saying that God provides. Doesn't mean that sometimes our checkbook might not be zero. Whether sometimes we wonder where our next meal is coming from. That can absolutely happen. But I think as we go through life, and there have been times when my life has been not that bad, but, you know, pretty close to that. And looking back now, I can say, yeah, we weren't rich and we didn't have a lot of nice things or whatever, but God provided. God provided. And I think, you know, whatever, what I really needed was always there. Was always there. And this desire for things and the frustration we feel when we don't get it, it just takes away from the joy of life. Next slide. What is the secret of life? The secret of life, we have to believe in his plan, trust in his sovereignty, put faith in his provision. Really, the secret of life is faith in God. All of these have to do with faith. We have to believe in his plan. We have to trust in his sovereignty. We have to put faith in his provision. It all comes down to who do you believe is taking care of you? Is it you or is it God? And if you believe God is taking care of you, you can enjoy life. If you really believe that God has the plan and he'll work it out, may not be what I want, but he has the plan, the best plan, that God in his sovereignty is filtering out all the trials, and it doesn't mean we don't go through trials. In fact, it says we will go through trials. There will be times that are just really, really hard, but God has filtered those so we will never go beyond the point, beyond his point of grace. His grace will always be sufficient for whatever trial he allows to come into our life. And that we can put faith in his provision. I'm going to put out two invitations. One, faith in God is the secret of life. I know that sounds really trite, but it's really true. Faith in God is the secret of life. If you have it, you will live a good life. You will live a good life. If you don't have it, I don't care how rich you are or what you have, you will not. You will not. The secret of life is faith in God. For those of you who have not yet put your trust in Jesus, I want to encourage you to think about that. I'm sure there are things you want in life, and you may be living a pretty good life right now. But the moment will come when you'll look back on all of that, and if you do not have faith in God, it will all be empty. There will come a moment in your life you say, is this all there is? And I want to just kind of put it out there for you. Put faith in God, and then you will experience all the things God wants you to experience in ways you can't even imagine. In ways you can't even imagine. And if you choose to do that in your program, actually there's a little thing there that tells you how to become a Christian. Really pretty straightforward, pretty simple. Read that. Think about that. See if that's something you want to do. Secondly, I want to give an invitation for those of you, maybe you're the one who's been in exile for 70 years. You've been away from God's house. You've been away from God's people for a long time. And maybe God is saying, come back. Your 70 years is over. Come back. And I'll restore to you all that you lost. And I want to put that challenge out to those of us here who maybe have walked away a little bit. Maybe we've been in exile a little bit. And here's an opportunity for us to come back. God is saying, exile's over. 70 years is up. Come back now. For the rest of us, just be reminded there is a secret of life. There is a secret for us to know and to live that will give us the life that we really want. We may not think we want it, but that we really do want is faith in God. Faith in God. Let's pray.